You may be seated, and if you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. It's Pentecost Sunday, and I'm glad that we can gather in the house of the Lord today together. Isn't that wonderful? My subject this morning, Pentecost is essential. I was looking for a good title last week on my sermon, and Truth says, why don't you name it God's Glory is Essential? And I was running this title by her, and she said, what about Pentecost is essential? And Pastor Ricky, when he was posting it on Facebook, he said, I like that title. I said, well, I got it from Teresa. He said, well, maybe I need to run some of my sermon titles by her. So we're just thankful for God that we're a body and that God speaks to us in so many ways. But God is a spirit, and you cannot see God, but like us today, you can know when you are in his presence. Pentecost is essential, and we know that because it's the manifestations of the Spirit that bring the blessings of God into our lives. It's in the manifest presence of God that people are saved, people are healed, people are delivered, and the miracle working power of God shows up, praise God, and we're blessed by the Spirit of God. You have a biblical right to every blessing that's in this Bible. And that's why we need Pentecostal power. We've got people that deny it. They're cessationists. They think it just stopped, you know, when the last apostle died. But praise God, we have seen the evidence. And we know that it's real. It's real. Praise God, we know it's real. And we're so thankful for Pentecost. But you have a biblical right to everything that's in the Bible. Now, how did that happen? Well, Jesus cut a new covenant with his blood at Calvary, and on the day of Pentecost, he sent the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 2 and 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Just like us, they were gathered together. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. The posture of prayer was they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I like what John said, you know, cloven tongues like as a fire. John said, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost in fire, John Baptist. But cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. My subject this morning, Pentecost is essential. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you, Lord, for illuminating our hearts and minds. Those watching by Facebook live, Lord, that have never had a Pentecostal experience, let them see from the Bible, not from what I say, but from what your word says. When we rightly divide it, that Pentecost is for today, that we need the power of your Spirit. Illuminate our hearts and minds. Fill us with your presence. Descend upon this place in great power. Descend upon our lives in like manner. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I love Pentecostal worship because it involves anointed singing, just like you've just heard. Pentecostal worship, it involves dancing in the Spirit. It involves the clapping of hands and moments of exuberant joy. Hallelujah. But most of all, you know, I love Pentecost because of the freedom. It's characterized by freedom. Sister Pat said last week on the return to the house, she just got up and ran. That's all right when the Spirit moves upon you. Tongues with interpretation were given out last Sunday. And we're back in the house of the Lord, and we have no idea what the Lord will do today. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But most of all, I love Pentecostal worship because it involves the presence, the moving, the working, and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. God said, it's not by power, it's not by might. God said, but it's my way, and it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. Now, the purpose of Pentecostal power is to preach and project Jesus Christ. It's to be a witness. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So when you preach Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Ghost is there, people are drawn by the Spirit of God into the presence of God. And when you get in his presence, all things are possible. Not some things, but all things. Now, we can't do all things, but we serve a God who can do all things. And the Holy Ghost, he gives witness to the work of the cross and what Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, did. And he has been sent to the church to give us the authority to use the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. Amen. Now, a lot of people speak in the name of Jesus, but there ought to be some evidence when you speak in the name of Jesus. That should be some miracles that happen. That should be some people that are saved. That should be some people that are delivered. That should be some miracles that happen, because when you have the name of Jesus, the authority to use it, and you're endued with power from on high by the Holy Ghost, you're to do the same works Jesus did. It's not just the preacher. It's the whole church. Hallelujah. Go and praise God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, when we preach under the anointing and we witness under the anointing, we get people into the presence of God. Now, Jesus cut a new and a better covenant at Calvary with his own precious blood. And when he arose from the dead, he returned to the Father, and he sent the Holy Ghost to empower his church. And when they came out of that little upper room on the day of Pentecost, the text I read, they had all been endued with power from on high. And what did they do? They began to preach and to project Jesus. Now, that's a good place where I could preach how they preached Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Paul said, I delivered unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. John, he preached, he said, I was on the Isle of Patmos for my testimony. I'd been banished there. He said, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a voice that spake. I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw one like unto the Son of God. And he goes on to tell how he was girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His hair was white like wool, white as snow. He said, out of his eyes were a flame of fire. Out of his mouth come a sharp two-edged sword. He said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one was dead. He said, he laid his right hand upon me. He said, John, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth, and I'm alive forevermore. And behold, I have the keys of hell and of death and hell, praise God. He's got a key to unlock any lock that you've been locked up in. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no force of darkness that can stand against the name of Jesus and Pentecostal power. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church to endue it with power from on high. Praise God. Now, Peter stood on the day of Pentecost, and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he began to preach. Peter said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did by him, by Jesus, in the midst of you all. Peter stood with boldness. The same man that had denied Jesus a few days earlier stood with boldness. And he said, him you have taken, and by wicked hands you have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Peter said, but God raised him from the dead, because it was impossible for death to hold him. Hallelujah. Peter said, you saw his miracles. He's preaching to people that were eyewitnesses. He said, you saw his healings. You saw the signs and wonders that Jesus did in your midst. See, many of the people that were present on the day of Pentecost, they were eyewitnesses to many of the miracles that Jesus had performed. They knew that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. They knew that he had been raised from the dead, and that many of these people that heard Peter preach on the day of Pentecost, they were eyewitnesses to the events that had taken place when Jesus walked on this earth. My Lord. They had seen the wonderful miracles of Jesus. They had seen him crucified, many of them. They had seen him after he arose from the dead. But they were witnesses. But I want you to look at Acts 5:32. When Peter preached later, Peter said, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to those that obey him. So the Holy Ghost is given to witness what Jesus did. Peter preached and he said, we are his witnesses of these things, but there's an unseen power here. That is an unseen presence. He's called the Holy Ghost. We are witnesses of the things Jesus did, but also the Holy Ghost is a witness. Hallelujah. You know, Peter preached a simple message. He preached the cross, and he preached the power of the resurrection. That's what saved us. The preaching of the cross is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. You believe, I believe, there are people all over the world that believe. Why? Because the Holy Ghost. It's called a hyssop in the Old Testament. They took the blood and they would dip it in a basin, a hyssop rather than dip it in a basin of blood and strike it over the doorpost in the center on both sides, and the blood would run down, forming the cross. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost, he applies the blood of Jesus to our hearts. Peter preached a simple message. He exhorted these people. He said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus for remission of sins. Peter said, if you will do that, if you will do that much right there, you are a candidate to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the people were pricked in their hearts. My Lord. 3,000 souls were born again that day. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the Holy Ghost, the unseen presence of God, he was there. He was there to do a work. He was there on a mission. And he's here with us today to do a work. And he's on a mission. Hallelujah. My Lord. See, the Holy Ghost, he doesn't speak of himself. But he gives witness to the work of the cross. Pentecost is essential. It's essential for your salvation. It's essential for your deliverance. It's essential to for you to experience the miracle working power of God. The Holy Ghost is the great teacher. The Holy Ghost, he is the miracle worker. He doesn't speak of himself, but he points us to Jesus and to the work of the cross. That's what Jesus had said earlier before the Spirit was poured out. Look with me at John 16:13. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you some scripture. What he said. Jesus said, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, he'll give you revelation. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Ghost is so important because there are revelational gifts, three of them. The word of wisdom, which shows the future. The word of knowledge, where God shows you something that exists. And discerning of spirit, so you can discern the spirit that you're dealing with. These are giftings of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus, he's just telling us that when he comes, this is what he's going to do. Paul later tells us about how the gifts operate and all. But I want you to see the background that these men are operating from. They are operating from things the Word said. The Word himself said it. Now, look at John 16:14. He shall glorify me. Jesus said, he's going to glorify me. He shall receive of mine. He shall show it unto you. He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Now, later he's going to rise from the dead and said, all power in heaven and earth is in my name. But look, he's prophetically speaking right here, telling us what the Holy Ghost is going to do. So these men that go out and turn their world upside down, they understand the purpose of Pentecostal power, and they understand what the Holy Ghost is going to do. So now that they have revelation, God can give them more as this thing unfolds. Hallelujah. Verse 15, all things the Father has of mine, therefore said I, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. Church, after we're saved, we need to seek God for the fullness of the Spirit. We need to clean our lives up and make sure that everything is in divine order. He's the one, the Holy Ghost, who endues us with power from on high. Jesus gave us the authority to use his name, but he sent the Holy Ghost so we could receive the power. We have the authority to use Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost gives us power. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we get the witness of the Spirit when we're saved, But we get the power of the Spirit when Jesus, from his high priestly ministry, finds a consecrated vessel and he sends the Holy Ghost into that person's life, just like he sent the Holy Ghost to the church on the day of Pentecost. I tell you what, this thing is beautiful. When you see the panorama of God's plan as it unfolds before us in the Scriptures. That's why I love the Scriptures. See, I've heard preachers testify and tell how they were called to preach and how later they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And after that, their entire ministry was transformed by the power of the Spirit. And I've heard them say that after they were filled, that they would go back to their churches and they would begin to preach. Now, when I say they were filled with the Spirit, I'm talking about they had a Pentecostal experience, like the men in the upper room there, like in my text. They had a Pentecostal experience where they all spoke in tongues. And that's important because we got people that want to water the gospel now. No, I'm going to tell you exactly what the Word of God says. They were filled with the Spirit. These men went back to their church and preached after they had had a Pentecostal Acts 2 experience, spoke in tongues as the Spirit of God gave to others. They returned to their churches and they began to preach. And I've had them tell me how they preached some of the same messages that they had preached prior to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And their congregation began to wonder, what in the world has happened to our preacher? I see you out there, Sister Clara. Hallelujah. Woo! And they began to comment and say, your messages are so anointing. And God is moving in such great power. What in the world has happened to you? And people began to get saved that had not been saved that are sitting in those churches. They began to get healed, people that had all types of ailments. And they began to get delivered from bondages and habits and things. And their whole life was completely transformed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. See, this church, I like to look at it, this church. I look at this church and I look at people in other churches because it happens where people are filled with the Spirit and people understand the authority of the name of Jesus. I like to look out and see the wonderful testimonies. I go to prayer meetings with others, and they're looking for power. I wished I could tell them I found it. It's the Holy Ghost. The very thing that you're denying, the very thing that if you would take your denominational glasses off and look into the Word of God, you could see what Jesus did when he sent the Holy Ghost to his church. He sent the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So if you want to blame anybody for tongue talking, blame Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I look at testimonies here. People delivered from sin, from alcohol, from drugs, from fear. Miracles, signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, and we don't understand it all. I'm looking back at Brother Joey Tedder right now. And Brother Joey and his wife come in one day and he said, we hadn't any sleep in 3 days. He said, my neck is bothering me. I can't turn my neck. I'm in the old campus, in the old sanctuary. They came in between services. I'm getting ready for the next service. I said, when I lay my hand on you, you're going to be healed instantly. How did I know that? The Holy Ghost. I can't say that all the time. But I said, be healed. When I touched him, he said, it's gone. And they walked out, he and his wife rejoicing. And the devil said, what about you? What they didn't know about me was I was going to a chiropractor, Dr. Nathan. I wish you'd had your license then. You were a young boy then, but I would have gone and had you fix my neck. But I was going to a chiropractor, and the devil said, what about you? I mean, I couldn't turn mine. I said, what about me, devil? I'm healed also, praise God. I'm healed because the Word of God says I'm healed. And I couldn't turn it, but look at it now. Woo, glory, glory, glory. I'm healed. I don't understand everything about Pentecost any more than I can tell you how a black and white cow can eat green grass and make some beautiful white milk and how you can churn that stuff and have some beautiful yellow butter. I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it to enjoy it. Go on, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! People around us have been changed and delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. But what brought the great miracles and the signs and the wonders? I'll tell you what it was. It was the Holy Ghost giving witness to the work of the cross and what Jesus did. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's God's way. And God said, it's by my spirit. Hallelujah. And just like Peter, we can say here, we're witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to those that obey him. Aren't you glad to be in a full gospel church where the gifts of the Spirit are functioning? And when you come to church, you don't come for more religion. You come because you know you're in his manifest presence. And when you get in his manifest presence, all things are possible to those that believe. Not because of the preacher. Now, he's to be anointed, and he's to preach, and he's operating gifts, but he's just a child of God. The Holy Ghost is God. Hallelujah. And if I can get anointed, Brother Ricky can get anointed, and some of you can get anointed, you can lay your hands on people, and miracles and signs and wonders happen because you've been endued with power from on high. That's the purpose of Pentecost, to preach, project Jesus, and to be a witness. And there ought to be some manifestations of the Spirit when we are God's witness. Pentecost is essential. Now, John, the beloved, he was also in that little upper room with Peter and others when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. John was also an earthly witness to Jesus' ministry when Jesus was here. Look at what John said in 1 John 1 and 3. John said, that which I have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you might go to church, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I love you, church. I love my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. I want to have fellowship with you. You're important to me. You bless my life. I'm a preacher, but let me tell you, you have giftings, and they're important. You're in the body, and we need to realize that more and more, and let everybody find their place in the body and do what they do so the Holy Ghost can bless us together. Look at 1 John 1 and 3. John said, that which we have seen and heard, he said, I was a witness, declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John said, I saw the Christ. I walked with him. I saw his miracles. I heard his preach. I heard him teach. John said, I listened to his wonderful sermons as he preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. See, even Jesus preached under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. John said, I was there. And I'm writing these things to you that your joy might be full. Isn't that wonderful? John said, I don't want you just get a little touch of it. I want your joy to be full. Later, the Apostle Paul would come along and preach the kingdom of God is righteousness. You have a right standing with God. Peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. God's people ought to be a happy people. Because we can have fellowship with one another. And we can draw strength from one another. You may be on the mountaintop. I may have a tremendous need. But if you'll pray for me, God will help me. And that's the way the body works. John said, I saw him. I was there. John was an eyewitness. Think about this. The day that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. John was there. But not only was John there and some of the other disciples, Peter was there, Andrew was there, and the Holy Ghost was there. Hallelujah. How do you know that, Pastor? Because that day, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, he saw Jesus coming down that dusty road, and he looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And when Jesus went down in the water that day, he came up. That's what water baptism is. Jesus said, he didn't have any sin. He said, I'm just going to do this to fulfill all righteousness. He went down in the water, and he came up that day, and suddenly the Holy Ghost floated down on heaven. It lighted upon him, giving witness to the ministry that Jesus would have. Now, when the Holy Ghost lighted upon me and lighted upon you, he was giving witness that you have a ministry. Wherever it is, whatever, don't let the devil ever tell you you don't matter, that you don't amount to anything. You're a whole lot more than you think about yourself. Hallelujah. Because the devil will lie to you and lie to you and lie to you and tell you that nobody loves you. How do you know that, Pastor? He tells me that. But I know my Redeemer lives. I know God loves me. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord. I know God loves you. Because he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God is not willing that any should perish but all should come to repentance. God is a good God. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost came upon Jesus that day giving witness to his ministry. And a voice spoke from heaven. Said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Now we're sons and daughters of God. We're not the son of God. We're sons and daughters of God. But wouldn't you like for God to say, this is my child in whom I'm well pleased? See, the Holy Ghost that came upon Jesus, the Holy Ghost that came in that upper room, he's essential. He is essential because the Father is giving witness to us. It says that in a great house, Paul would later preach, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but some of wood and some of clay, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, the things of dishonor, he shall be a vessel unto God, sanctified and meet for the master's use. And listen to this, and prepared for every good work. I have to prepare my heart. You have to prepare your heart. I have to read my Bible. You have to read your Bible. I have to pray and seek God. You have to do that if you want an effective ministry. Because if you will do that, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll help you and do you with power from on high so you can go out and win souls and be a witness. Glory to God. Now, John was there and Peter was there and others were there as eyewitnesses the day Jesus was baptized into Jordan. That's why the Bible says, see, they're getting revelation a little here, a little there. And later, Peter would write, when he was at Cornelius' house, he preached this, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So if you want to know what the Father's like, and I love the preachers, just look at the Son. Look at the works he did. If you want to know God's will, look at what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. And look at what Jesus did, you know, when he went to the cross, when he rose from the dead, when he sent the Spirit. Just look at that. And you'll know how much God loves you. Almost how much. I don't think we'll ever fully comprehend. It fathoms, you know, my mind. I say, oh, God, I wish I could understand more about it. And I seek and I pray about it. But if you could just understand the love of God for you, and for mankind, it would transform your world because people will do you wrong. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. Hallelujah. And then God's son, Jesus, sent the Holy Ghost so that the Spirit could abide in our hearts forever. Woo! If you abide in me, Jesus said, my words abide in you. That's what you will. But get filled. Get all of God. And then let the word richly abide in your life. It will bring forth of itself. Now, if Jesus needed the Holy Ghost to fulfill his ministry, guess what? We need the Holy Ghost. We didn't experience just like they had on the day of Pentecost when they staggered out of that little upper room speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I think that as John preached the gospel with power and demonstrations of the Spirit, that John would give a brief overview of the ministry of Jesus. I think he must have told people how he sat at Jacob's well one day and how Jesus preached to a wayward woman. She had been married 5 times and she was living with a man that she was not married to. But before Jesus finished with that woman, her life was completely transformed by the power of God. One moment, she's shacking up, a vile sinner. The next moment, she is transformed into a saint of God. Glory, that's the power of the gospel, my church. That's the power of the name of Jesus. That's the power of his presence, that he'll break every chain. Glory to God. He's a great God. He's a good God. Hallelujah. And if you didn't get that when you prayed the sinner's prayer, you need to make another trip to Calvary. There is no chain that can hold you if you want to be free. There is no devil so strong that he can hold you if you're called upon the name of Jesus. If you mean business with God, and when God sees faith in your heart, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the glory of God will come down and strike you, and you'll be free, because whom the Son makes free, woo, is free indeed. No more chains of slavery. Truth has triumphed. I have the victory. But whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Now, John saw Jesus perform all kinds of miracles. He saw the lame get up and walk. He saw the deaf receive their hearing. He saw the blind receive their sight. He saw Jesus feed the multitude with a few fishes and loaves of bread. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw him nailed to the cross. He saw him placed in a borrowed tomb. He saw him after he arose from the dead. He was there at the Mount of Olivet when Jesus went up out of their sight and returned to heaven. John was there in that upper room when Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to anoint his church. John was an eyewitness. Peter and John walked with the Lord in his earthly ministry, and they had great testimonies that they could preach about. At the Gate Beautiful, later, they would heal the lame man. He'd been lame from his mother's womb. And how did they do it? They'd been endued with power from on high. They had the authority to use the name of Jesus. He's begging for silver and gold. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And instantly, he didn't get up quick enough, so Peter reached down. You know, some people don't understand things like this. I tell people, I said, if you'll do this, praise God, you'll get your miracle. How do you know that? Well, I'm operating in faith. I just heard a voice speak to me and say, do it this way. And when I hear that voice, I operate in faith. And Peter's operating in faith. And Peter reached down. He didn't get up quick enough. So Peter snatches him by the hand and lifts him up. The power of God hit him. He goes dancing, leaping, and praising God into the temple. Later they said, how did that happen? Peter said it was his name, through faith in his name. Yea, the faith that is by him have made this man perfect in the presence of you all. It's the name of Jesus. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And we don't need just one. We need everything. Hallelujah. So Pentecostal power is essential. Now, John and Peter, they walked with Jesus in his earthly ministry. But I've been wanting to get over here to old brother Paul. Saul of Tarsus was his name, and Saul was a persecutor of the Christians. Look at Acts 9 and 1. This will give you the idea of what this man was at doing. Acts 9 and 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went up to the high priest, and desiring of him, led us to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any in this way, Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly, woo, that's how God does certain things. Hallelujah. That's how miracles. And just as quick as your problem came, suddenly it can leave. Hallelujah. As he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. My Lord. He fell to the earth and heard the voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? Who are you, Lord? Who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Be careful what you do to people in the body. He's out killing men and women that were Christians. Jesus said, hey, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the prick. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? I like that. Here's this man that's out killing Christians. A persecutor of the church says, Lord. He had an encounter. I mean, he had a real encounter. Lord, what will you have me do? And the Lord said, arise, go into the city, and thou shalt be told what thou must do. Some people wonder, what is my ministry? What is my ministry? Go to church, praise God. Get involved in the body. You'll find out what it is. The Lord will tell you. Paul met the master that day. He surrendered his heart and his life to Jesus. He made him Lord. Now, I love this right here because here's a little layman in the church. His name is Ananias. God spoke to a man named Ananias and said, go to the street called Straight. I want you to go over there and straighten that man up some more. I want you to go lay your hands on that man. I got something special for him. See, God used a layman here. And watch what God does. He said, go to the street called Straight to the house of Judas. There's a man there named Saul. I want you to lay your hands on him so that he can be healed. People want to make Paul sick, you know, if I say. So he can be healed, receive his sight, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let's watch Ananias and his obedience to God. Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Brother. He's the one killing the Christians, Lord. Don't you know he was a, what people would say today, don't you know he was a drunk? Don't you know he was a persecutor? Don't you know he was a blasphemer? You think that God could save somebody like that? I know he can. Hallelujah. I've seen him do it over and over again. He's a good God. Ananias went his way into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Here's a little layman. Ananias was anointed of the Holy Ghost, and he laid his hands on Paul, and Paul was healed, and Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. And look at verse 18. And immediately that fell from his eyes as it had been scales. He received his sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I got to looking at that verse. I know he received his physical sight, but some scales fell from his eyes. This is a trained man, trained in the law, blameless considering the law. Hebrews of Hebrews, somebody important, set at the feet of Gamaliel. Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But some scales fell from his eyes. God said, I've chosen you, and I'm going to give you some revelation. You're going to suffer some great things for my name's sake. And the Bible tells us that immediately Paul preached Jesus in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Now, what happened to this man named Saul? What transformed his life? He had an encounter with the true and the living God. Because of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He was healed. He was filled. And he was anointed. My Lord. Paul was chief among the sinners. He had murdered Christians. He had persecuted the church. Yet Christ was merciful to him and saved him. And Paul became the powerful apostle of faith. He stood before kings and dignitaries and gave his testimony. In the 24th chapter of Acts, Paul is brought before Felix. Felix, this cruel judge. He wanted to hear Paul's testimony concerning the faith. And Paul reasoned with him concerning righteousness, temperance, and the judgment. He talked to Felix face to face, and he told him, Felix, you're going to have to become a righteous man. And Paul gave him his testimony. And no doubt he told him, you have to follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Paul brought Felix face to face with the judgment. And Felix said, some more convenient time I'll call for you. I believe he meant it. The devil makes everybody think there's going to be a more convenient time, a time beyond a day when you have another opportunity to be saved. If you're not saved out there, if you're not saved, if you're in this church, you need to get saved today. We find no place in the scriptures where Felix ever repented. This was his time. This was his moment. This was his decision. And as far as we know, Felix went to hell looking for a more convenient season to be saved. That was his time. That was it. On another occasion, Paul stood before King Agrippa and he gave his testimony. He told King Agrippa, this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, you know the scriptures. You know how that Christ should suffer and be the first to rise from the dead. King Agrippa, this thing has not been hidden from you. You believe the prophets, King Agrippa. I know you believe the prophets and that Jesus is the Christ. And Agrippa said, Paul, I mean, this is a powerful preacher up there. Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Yet we find no place in the scripture where King Agrippa ever repented. As far as we know, he went to hell, almost persuaded. See, Paul preached the gospel to him. No doubt he told him, it's appointed unto man but once to die and after the judgment. He brought him face to face with the judgment. So you may have heard the gospel many times, but today is the day for your decision. Today is the day of salvation, my friends. Don't be a fool like Felix and Agrippa. Don't go to hell almost persuaded, looking for a more convenient time. Surrender your life to Jesus today. Paul was a man filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. Listen to his own words. I love this. 1 Corinthians 2 and 4. Paul said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Look at this. But in demonstrations of the Spirit and power. Every preacher that's ever been called, there ought to be some signs and wonders, demonstrations of the Spirit. I don't care to be the most eloquent preacher there is. I don't care to be the greatest preacher there is. I just want to be the best I can be. Because if I'll be the best I can be, praise God, I found out something. The Holy Ghost will back me up. And the Holy Ghost will do what only He can do. Not by power nor by might. Not by some man coming to you. Somebody sent by God filled with the Holy Ghost and with power that didn't come with enticing words. Not trying to manipulate you. Not trying to get some position somewhere. Called by God Almighty. God placed His hands on him. Said, I want you to go and I want you to preach my word. And if you'll go and preach my word, I'll back you up with signs and wonders and divers miracles. That's the kind of preachers we need in the last days. We're in the last days. Pentecost is essential. And we need to lay aside some doctrinal teachings. And we need to get a hold of the book. And get a hold of the Bible. And change your mind about some things. I've had to change my mind about a lot of things. Some of them I don't even talk to the dignitaries in this organization about. I don't talk to them because they can't receive it. But if you get along with God, I promise you something. God will endue you with power from on high. He'll show you things you never imagined you could see. And if you'll just keep seeking Him, praise God, miracles, signs, and wonders will show up in the midst of the church. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. Let me wrap this thing up. Now, church, I want you to notice something about these early preachers. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they all spoke in tongues, both known tongues and unknown tongues. Some people get hung up on that. I'm reading a book Pastor Ricky gave me. And the man missed it 1,000 miles. I've read the man, he's some of the greatest preaching I've ever heard. But he missed Pentecost 1,000 miles. He said they spoke in known tongues. Yeah, read your Bible, brother. Take your denominational glasses off. Paul said you speak in unknown tongues, pray that you might interpret. I mean, they spoke in known tongues, they spoke in unknown tongues, and these people all filled with the Holy Ghost. The men who wrote the New Testament, they were all Pentecostal tongue-talking preachers. It cannot be denied. The Bible evidence is overwhelming. I'm not telling you what my denomination says about Pentecost. I'm telling you what the Bible says about Pentecost. Hallelujah. It cannot be denied. They all spoke with tongues. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they turned their world upside down. And if these men needed the fullness of the Holy Ghost, we need Pentecostal evidence. Speaking in tongues. Oh, you're not one of those, are you? Yes, Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the church, and I speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory. Can I get a witness out there? I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Pentecostal preacher, and I speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Pentecost is essential. See, Christ is with us in the church in our worship. He is with us in our witnessing. He is with us in our warfare. He is with us in our walk. And the Holy Ghost has been sent so we can rise above the storms and the difficulties of life, so we could be endued with power from on high. And I believe I'm talking to some people that know what I'm talking about. That many of you have been divinely touched by God's grace, regenerated by the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost. Church members, preacher friends out there, I want to ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If not, why not? Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, I want you to visualize this. God the Father and Jesus the Son, they watched as the Holy Ghost descended upon that upper room. Can you imagine that? God the Father and God the Son. See, Jesus earned the right to send the Holy Ghost to his church. He's the head of the church. John said, I baptize you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. God the Father and God the Son watched as the Holy Ghost descended upon that upper room. 120 disciples, they began to minister in the name of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And no longer is Jesus restricted to one geographic location. Now, 120, 3,000, 5,000, 100,000, millions of people today, they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And the same Holy Ghost that was sent by Jesus is here to abide with us forever, working in our midst to accomplish God's will. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Ghost, which God has given to those that obey him. Let us stand. Pastor Ricky.
Holy Spirit, thou
Pentecost is essential.
Come in this place, Holy Spirit.
I want you to allow the ushers, if you have to leave, to dismiss you from the rear to the front.
This place,
let's linger in his presence.
Omnipotent Father,
1204.
A mercy.
Tell the Lord what you need.
And grace.
Tell him your heart's desire. Talk to him. Holy Ghost, he'll come to you.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcoming
in this place, my temple, Lord.
Holy Spirit,
I love you, Jesus.
Thou art welcoming.
Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost.
This place,
omnipotent of mercy
and grace.
Help me, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need more of your Spirit, more of your giftings, more of your presence. Make that a prayer.
Oh, thou art welcoming,
Lord.
This
Lord. As Paul said, Lord, what would you have me do?
This prayer.